Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Morning all to you out there in web stream land. I gotta remember to turn this off of the, turn the web off. We had a couple people say it was, when it was streaming, it was a little jumpy, so. And we've got actually really fast internet. We got as fast internet as we can get. But when you're streaming video, it takes a lot of bytes.
Is that off?
Yes, I turned that one off. I had that one on upstairs. I think that's what was hogging it. So.
Hello, Bob and Martha.
Bob and Martha.
And Mary.
Yeah, Bob and Bob was the one that was saying the signal was jumpy.
Yeah.
Linda, Barry, we're going to share a little bit of what Linda sent today. So I think what would really be good is to recap just a little bit some of the highlights of things. Because, I mean, we sat for hours in meetings. And when we started the first lesson...
Please.
When we started out Friday night, we talked about all these words that are spoken, you know, and everybody speaks a lot of words, and we all want to get together, and everybody wants to share their opinions, and that can all be fun. But if we're all honest with each other, there's a statement here or there on the whole weekend that's spoken to you. It might just be one thing. It might just be two things. But I'm telling you, you're not going to remember every word that's spoken. And so what is it that you heard this weekend? And I want to tell you some things that I heard from Gary. And, of course, I hear things from myself, but I spend a lot of time getting ready for the lessons, and sometimes myself gets in the way of myself. And so it's nice if somebody else's self talks to me. And that's one of the reasons I like it when Gary comes up, because there were some words he said that really set me free. Now, my ego wants to say I knew that. Well, I'd heard it before, but they were just words, weren't they?
Yep.
Now I knew it. Now when he said it, I knew that was part of my problem, that I didn't get it. Okay? Now that's what I like to hear from people when they write me. I want to hear about how they're getting it. Okay? I don't want to hear about people's experiences and about all this stuff. I like it when Liz writes me and Kathy writes me and tells me what they're hearing. What thing did they hear that changed them? Because it ministers to me. And so, so all these words, we keep saying all these words all the time and they say are true, yet we keep finding ourselves in places of trouble and frustration, right? And it gets so busy. There's just so much busyness already, right? And I love fellowship, and I love doing those things, but I've just learned to be more and more of a listener as I've matured. And there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not here to correct anybody, okay? And Gary's right. You know, you are special. But you better not hang on to that too long, should you? Because they've been telling us that our whole lives, haven't they? And Gary's just talking about knowing you're loved. He's not saying, you know, you got, you know, expand your ego bigger than it is. That's not what he means. But I think sometimes we have to choose our words differently, and that's why I said we've got to come up with a different language. Because if I say human being, I'm talking about a deaf being. Okay? And everybody out there thinks they're human beings. And I'm telling you right now, that's the pinnacle of death, to believe you're a human being. Because if you believe you're a human being, you believe you're separate from God. You believe you're something separate. And I'm telling you right now, it's killing you. It kills you. And that ain't special. That thing there, there ain't nothing special at all about that. But what's amazing is on the flip side of that, you realize all there is the Christ. And Gary did bring that out. All there is the Christ. And our problem is, falls then in between the thing we don't have, which is a full understanding of that truth, and the thing we want in the world. Now, I'm hoping I'm not making your mind spin. I know that sounds a little convoluted, but it's really true. When you're going out and grasping things, and we're going to talk about lust today, it's one, it's because you don't realize who you are, and you're not satisfied with that, right? Yep. And so out of that, we start grabbing for things that we think we deserve, or we think we should have. And Gary really, really talked about two things. Talked about a flow in his life of things coming to you when it's time. Well, that doesn't mean I'm sure he went up and said, "I really like your car. That's nice." I'm sure you said that, didn't you? Yeah. "That's a really nice Cadillac. Wow." Well, we're going to have to go back into the world of prayer then if you want that. If you move here, I'll let you drive it as much as you want. How about that? But you're going to have to share it with me. So what word, and I don't mean just the word, one word. What word is it that's missing in your life? Because it gets crowded and surrounded by all the noise and the words we're speaking all the time about what we deserve or don't deserve. But there's a word missing. And through this whole weekend with all I've shared, okay, he said a couple things that I get a feeling go through me. I can feel it right now, just of peace. And that's what the song is talking about. It's not talking about getting healed. It's talking about having this feeling of life flowing through you. And nothing can touch that. That's what we have to realize. Nothing can touch that. And if you can stay in that zone no matter what news you hear, right? Because you can't, as soon as you start going around and saying, "If I say that over and over again, I'm going to get health," where are you back at? You're back in a death realm again, the fear of death again. You don't want that. You don't want that kind of thing. You don't want to live there. I'm telling you. There's no life there. And so that's why we talked about this Jesus the healer guy. You know, he was just compassionate with them and extending a realm of death and dying out a little bit for them. That's because that's all they wanted. They didn't want anything else. And the 5,000 people in the desert, all they wanted was one meal. Just one meal. That was it. And we see a pattern all through Scripture about that, don't we? Who was it that sold his whole birthright for one pot of porridge? Now, we're going to blame the guy, right? We're going to torture him. But listen, that's you. Every time you try to get something you don't have. Every time. It's you. Every time we try to get health and we try to get wealth and we live in this place of in between what we want and what we don't have. That's what we're doing. That's what the story's about. You forsake everything you are in that realm. You just walk away from it. I'm becoming a lot more sensitive to that now because I don't enjoy living there, guys. I don't. There's not joy there. There's not peace there. It's this. It's this all the time. So what Gary said, he was talking about just living in a faith realm and managing those desires in a way where, and this is one thing I remember learning from Ian Thomas one time, he said. But I didn't understand it the way Gary said it. So I don't want to say I knew it, but it's connecting now for me, right? If there's something you want or you something you have, let go of it and see if it comes back to you. See, that's why you know it's supposed to be coming to you or not. Just let go of the desire of it and see if it comes back to you. And when it comes back to you, it's being brought to you then, right? And there is an anxiousness with it. And Gary was talking about that in a different way in his life, right? But then this is what he said that really set me off the right way. Everything that comes to you is for you, not against you. Everything. Now, he said it a little differently, but that's how I heard it, right? Everything that comes to you. Everything now. Everything. Everything that comes to you is for you, not against you. Now, I'm just telling you, I sit up there and just the top blew off of my head, okay? Just hearing that. Isn't that beautiful? So guess what we can say? This is how I heard it a little differently this morning. You deserve everything you get. You deserve everything you get.
Your mother said that?
Now listen. What does this mean? Where's the real victory here? All the things you're trying to pray away. You just want to get rid of them. Then you're not believing they're for you. You're believing they're against you. That's why all this prayer business is a bunch of nonsense, okay? And you're talking to a God who can't hear you because he's an idol. Isn't that? Now, that's frustrating, I'm telling you, in River City now. We're blabbing away about something that's, we're trying to get rid of something that's for us. We don't want the gift that that brings. We don't want that. So everything that comes to you, you deserve. So we've got beautiful verses that say that. And everything give thanks, right? Learn to be content with whatever state you find yourself in. Wherever. Wherever. So what's good is if you get something that comes to you, don't let it be a lust anymore. Right? Listen to some of this some more. We'll have to develop this a little more. I want to hear more about this. You know? How do we not let it be a lust? Is let go of it. Let go of your desire to get rid of this thing that's whatever, even if it's some health issue. What Ed Lanyon talks about this, right? But it was Gary's word that blew the lid off of it for me, that got rid of my frustration. My frustration went away, and a lot of it's reduced, but a little bit seems as painful as a lot sometimes, you know. A little bit. Because I'll be honest with you, our business is sort of flat right now. It's not really going down, and it's not going up. And we have these huge clients where we get like a 1,000 car rail job coming, and then we got nothing. And that's hard to manage, especially when I never want to send my people home. We don't. Edward Deming said in one of his meetings once, if you're laying people off, you're failing. Okay? I think that's beautiful. I think it's beautiful. I don't ever want to lay anybody off. I don't. I want to keep those people. I want to keep them employed. Okay? And so, when you get these big holes with no business, right, I get uncomfortable with it. Now, you know what happens? Something always comes, you know, to fill the holes. But if I, since I can't see it coming, you know, well, that's what Gary said to help give me some relief with that, see? It's always come. It's always come. Do you know what I mean? Just like you said, right? It's always come if you let go of it. And a story, a beautiful story that Ian Thomas told, if you remember, was about Moses and his rod. And he had brought it out of Egypt with him, his staff. And it had formed to his hand. And he used it to protect himself. And he used it to herd. And he used it to guide himself around the rocks. He got real, real comfortable with it. And God spoke to him one day and said, throw it down. Do you remember the story?
Yeah.
Throw it down. And it became a serpent. So what are we holding in our hands that we want, right? And I think this lines right up with what Gary was telling us. Throw it down, and if it doesn't come back to you, you don't need it. If it doesn't come back, you didn't need it. And I don't care what it is, even if it means you're going to disappear from this realm, you can't hang on to these things. It doesn't, especially in health issues. The more you hang on to it, the more you're feeding it. And so that's why I like those words. Right? There we like those words. Speak life to yourself because you are eternal. And that's what Kathy told us. Our struggle with these things is we have no confidence of man, as men that we are eternal beings. We have absolutely no confidence that we're eternal. And so what do? We run around in fear of all these diseases and all these ailments. And I don't like it when my body twitches. You know, my back was a little achy this morning, you know, when I got up. And I didn't want to get up. She comes up and brings my coffee, and I'm going, go away. You know, I'm not really a morning person. So, thank you, Gary, for that. It was beautiful. And that's all I needed for the whole weekend, guys. That's enough. I mean, to get that blown off, that's a lot for me. So look for a word, not a lot of words. Look for that, what word has spoken to you this weekend that's really helping you, you know? And go and develop that yourself. Maybe you could write about it or speak about it, you know, but just all of this blabbing all the time isn't helping us. And I like to be social and do things with people, but I'm looking for that word all the time. I really am. I'm on the hunt for that. And it comes. It always comes. And it's so, that's what's so beautiful about it. So we're talking about the fear of unbelief. And the fear of death, we talked about that a lot back in January. And Kathy wrote back and said, and I want to repeat it again. She said, Mike, you are right. As man, we have had no confidence that we are eternal. And we've judged ourselves by our own unbelief of that truth. We just don't, I mean, if you're worried about dying, you don't believe you're eternal. Come on. Hello? Do you? You don't believe you're eternal. Now, we talked about this plane that disappeared, and we got an amen out of everybody. I was surprised. But I said, nobody's lost. And what did Jesus say? No one's lost. So what was he talking about all the time in Scripture? And this is where this is why we get so off when we look at Scripture. Scripture's always talking about the mind of man. It's what it's talking about all the time. He's not talking about the individual. When he looked at the Pharisees, said, "You're of your father the devil," we think they were like red with pitchforks. But he was talking about your mind. Hello? Your mind. Well, I'm not a Pharisee. Well, as soon as you say it, you're a Pharisee. Because that's what Pharisees say. I'm not a Pharisee. Just like the ego, saying I don't have an ego. That's the first thing it says. Your mind is your only enemy. That's it. That's it. So speaking truth is good, but there's a word that's missing in our life if we're frustrated in any way. It's because truth somewhere is missing. And Father, what is that word? What is that word that I'm not understanding? You know? And so, I mean, if Gary just flew up here by himself and stopped off and handed me a note, you know, everything that comes to you is for you, and turned around and went back and I got it, then that would be good for me. Okay? But that's not how it happened. Right? But that's what I mean. Look for that. That's why you want to be listening. What is that word you need to hear that's going to change the way you think? What is that? We all need it. All of us need it. And I think that's why it's nice to have a mixture. That's why I don't want to be a one-man show, you know, with stuff. And I think certainly Diane perks up when you're speaking a little more than when I'm speaking. She hears my voice all the time, Gary. So I like it for her, too. What's it say? Familiarity breeds contempt. Okay. So, death. This was the other highlight that really I thought was special that Martha sent us. And we were talking about, we talked about this in January a little bit, but this says it differently. It's a different word. And she said, Martha said that she learned death in the Aramaic means to be present somewhere else. That's what death is. It's not this ugly thing that we've thought of where you're going to shrivel up like a worm and maybe be smashed by Thor and cast into an oven. You know, I mean, what her version of death is so ugly. You know, it's always a physical thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because we see these images all the time, and we go to funerals. You see all this stuff, and you hear about these stories. You know, we heard the story about this family where they had all their kids at the back of their pickup, and they pulled in front of a semi. And guess what? Nobody made it. And it wasn't pretty. That's how we vision death. And that's not what death is, guys. That isn't death. Death is to be present somewhere else. To be present somewhere else. Isn't that beautiful? It just means to be present somewhere else. It means that you don't trust that you're eternal. It means you don't believe you're eternal. And your circumstances and the lusts of your mind carry you away. Carry you away. Well, what was the lust in my mind that when Gary spoke the word, that it broke it free? Well, because when I look at the circumstances in my business and they don't quite line up according to the way I want, I get anxious about it. And it's a tough thing to swallow when you're dealing with, you know, lots of people. And I want to take care of those people. That's why I like Deming's word. I know you were squirming when I said that, but I'm in the business to give these people jobs, not just to make money. I want them to work. I want them to have a livelihood. Yeah, they're having babies like crazy, so they got to be happy. Man. We've had, over the last 3 years, there's been 20-some kids born. So we got workers. We're building a workforce, you know. Now, I'm probably hanging on to that a little too hard, aren't I? Don't you think, Gary? I'm hanging on to that a little too hard, aren't I? Right? That's a rule. I've come up with a rule. I'm following my rule, you know. But it's just my heart, it's my compassion. You know, I don't want to be like Howard Hughes and be locked in a room and die next to a pile of money peeing in a milk jug.
Your fingernails 5 inches long.
That's what happened to the guy. He was so afraid, so fearful of everything. He wouldn't let anybody come into the room. And he wouldn't leave the room. So afraid. And here he had all this money. Big deal. So getting a bunch of money isn't going to help you. You got to get the greed out of your mind. And it's usually the poorest people that struggle with that the most. So getting more money isn't going to make you be at peace and believe that you're eternal. This is where the problem's at. If nothing can touch you, wouldn't it just be wonderful to just live in this flow that Gary was talking about, where when what comes to you, you know you deserve it, and we get beyond judging it, whether it's right or wrong, whether we deserve it or not. You deserve everything that comes to you. He just told us that, because it's all for you. It's all for you. It's not against you. And so then when we fight it, it has twins, doesn't it? It gets twice as powerful then. That's so beautiful. I'm going to keep thinking about that, brother. I'm just going to keep meditating on that and try to expand that more so I can go out and stick it into these things. You know, maybe I'll loosen up a little bit on some of these rules, you know, that I've got. And they're not bad rules, but sometimes you ride them a little too hard. So, anyways, I don't want to be present somewhere else. That's for sure. We talked about awake thou that sleepest. Well, if you remember... when Lazarus had died and they put him in the tomb, Mary was all upset. And they went to find Jesus. And when she found him, he wept. And he wasn't weeping because of Lazarus. He was weeping because of the unbelief he was hearing. That they all believed Lazarus was dead. And what did he say to him? He's not dead. He's asleep. Remember? See, again, we interpret the stories the wrong way. Jesus wept because he had been with Mary all this time and she didn't get it. She didn't understand that Lazarus wasn't dead. She didn't believe that they were eternal. She didn't believe I'm an eternal being. She didn't believe Lazarus was an eternal being. That was what he wept about. Can't you hear me? I'm telling you, you're eternal. If you believe the words I speak to you, you'll have eternal life. You're not a physical human being that can die. Hello? That's not what you are. And I think we should expunge the word human being. You are a son of the living God, by the way.
Yeah.
Living. And, as Lanyon says, you can't destroy life. You can't destroy life. You can't. Are we understanding that? Life is life. It's like dirt's dirt. You can't destroy life. That because by its very own definition, you can't destroy it. Life is life. That's what it is. But we go somewhere else in a death realm, right, in our minds. We enter into a death realm in a belief of hell and destruction. And in Proverbs, Solomon said, hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. Bingo. You're not satisfied, for one, that you're eternal, and you're not thankful for the state you find yourself in. Now, it's going to help me to be a lot more thankful now that I understand better that everything that comes to me into my business is for me. It's not against me. And so then all things work together for good then, don't they? And I'm not talking about the good side of the wrong tree. I'm saying it's for me. It's for my benefit. It's for the furtherance of my understanding. And for yours. It's all for us. Beautiful. I haven't got enough of it. I might keep saying it for another hour. I just can't get enough of it. Now that's the one thing that's starting to grow in my life, see, and I just love that. I'm just so thankful for it. Thank you, Gary. I'm just so thankful for that word. And now you're hearing it again through my experience, and that is life. As it flows out from me, I'm sending life to you right now. And that's what Liz is doing, and that's what Kathy's doing. And that's what we need to do with each other. Not just get together and talk about the weather and baseball. And I'm okay about those things, but what's happening in your life that's changing this stinking thinking up here? That's what I want to hear from you. That's because it helps me. Now, maybe I'm being greedy, but that's what I want because I need it myself. And so every time we get together for these retreats, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that are for me, Gary, coming. I'm glad I'm understanding that better, Gary, because I was squalling and bawling a couple times, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm not even going to share it all with you. But I think the other reason we don't trust ourselves is you can't trust your mind. You can't trust it. It is a whore. It'll follow anything. It is. It'll follow anything. It loves to grab a hold of things and just ride them, you know. And here you are in unbelief, you don't even know it. You don't even know. You went off in unbelief. So we keep a watch over what? Our mouths. When you begin to speak lies that are the opposite of who you are. That's the main thing you've got to get back to. And we get out in layers and layers of things that happen, and we get away from that when that's the real problem, see? And we're three levels away from it on some little circumstance, see? Fighting it or grabbing for it or whatever it is, right? So, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or desire for something other than what you are. Every man is tempted and enticed. And then lust, when it has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, which is unbelief in who you are. That's what it's saying. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Then it puts you back in a death realm. Puts you back in there. So now, the next time, I'm hoping it's a smaller freight train next time, though, Gary. Can I get a 10-car one instead of a 100-car one? Would you put that requested for me. But when I see it coming, I might go out and greet it. What do you have for me, Father? Teach me thy ways, O Lord. That's what's for you. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. To be thankful for whatever comes to me. Instead of fighting it. If it's for me, why am I fighting it? Right? Because I have a lust for something different than what's in front of me. Right? I have a lust for something else. I don't like it. Oh boy. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war inside your members? Oh man. Inside your members. You picture a cartoon with two people you swallow that are fighting and your fists are punching out from inside your jaw and your back. But that's exactly the picture he's painting here. The war. Now, the war begins when there's two people on their own hunt and they don't line up, right? That's where the war begins. That's when it becomes global, doesn't it? Because everybody's got their own different set of lusts. And they've got their own God that goes along with it, right? They got their own idol that's matched up. This is my God. Give me this, give me that. And so when it goes global, says you kill because you desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now listen, don't listen to that verse the way I just read it now, because you're going to miss the whole point. Ye have not because ye ask not has nothing to do with material gain. Nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, you're going to be right back under the law. It has nothing to do with material gain. What do you ask for? The Word. The Word. Father, teach me this Word that will make me enjoy the flow of everything that you're bringing to me. That you're bringing to me, not that I'm grabbing for. And if you're asking for something you don't have, you're grabbing. Quit damn grabbing. Quit it. Quit it. If you haven't got it today, you don't need it today. Right? You don't. And if it comes tomorrow, hallelujah. Great. But we can't live tomorrow, can we? So listen to your tongue, right? Don't ask amiss. We grab right a hold of this. You have not because you ask not. Well, this is where the whole grab it and blab it thing came from. Now, Gary tried to grab it a little bit with the car, but he let go of it, didn't he? And then it came back to him. So that's a good way if your desire comes to you, you know, but hang on to it loosely. Don't be like Moses, right? We don't want to hang on to it so tight that it becomes a serpent, do we? Do you see what I mean? That's what we don't want. I don't want it. Now, I've got maybe a pretty giant thing I'm hanging on to up there at work. You know, it's a little bigger mass, you know, that I'm slobbering all over the thing, you know, let alone I'm climbing up it and jumping on it and trying to get stuff out of it. I mean, when you're dealing with companies like Menards, they're very demanding. I'm just telling you. When they ask for something, you jump. And we love their business now, so we jump. It's exactly what we do. Okay? But we're lighting all of their stores in the whole country. Now that should make you pretty happy, don't you think? Huh? But it doesn't do this. Here's 20 stores. Then there's none. Then there's 20. And then there's none. And so the managing of that started to pull me back into the state of fear a little bit again, right? I don't want to lose my good workers. I want it to go like this, don't we? And isn't that our problem? Isn't that our lust? That we want it to be flat on the plane of our vision, the way we want to see it? But here's a God that says, everything I'm going to bring to you is perfect for you. Right? Isn't that what you were telling us?
Absolutely.
Everything that's coming to you is for you, not against you. Hallelujah. Son of a... I'm going to start dancing, I think. And I don't dance much. Whew. Thank you so much. I'm just so excited about that. Isn't that something? That one little word has turned into a lesson today.
Four.
That's it. For, not against. Everything. And the religious system is doing what? They're barking about the Pharisees, which they are, and whining about the people that are eating off the evil side of the tree while they're eating off the good side. Right? Not only do they not think anything's for them, they're complaining about what everybody else is doing, except themselves. Now, thank God I don't live there anymore, right? Because you're in double jeopardy then. And I don't think we're living in double jeopardy now. But I can tell you, and I don't mean that in a legal way. So, Mark, I know if you're listening, you'll know that that's not what the definition of it is legally, but... double jeopardy is when you've got two areas of blindness. You've got what appears on the surface, and you've got the real problem behind it, right? That's what we're talking about, right? So if you're trying to get rid of something that's for you, you're going to have trouble. It's going to come back again, isn't it? If it's for you, it's going to come back. Bigger? Maybe? Yeah? It's all for me. Wow. It's all for me. Whew. Thank you. Now, James and John pile on us here. They're tough. They keep using the word lust all the time. Days. But, for all that is in the world, John says, all that is in the world, and here we're talking about the worldly mind now, okay? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. Not of the Father. But is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof when you realize everything's for you. There it is, isn't it? When you realize everything's for you. Isn't that beautiful? And the world passeth away. The worldly concept, our worldly mind that's lusting, the world passed away and the lust thereof when we realize everything's for us. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, here's the will of God. And it's always the same, to be thankful in everything. In Thessalonians, everything that's coming to you is for you, so give thanks for it. Greet it with thanks, even if it hurts. And that's what Gary was saying. Say it anyway. You've been practicing speaking death a long time. Why can't we practice speaking life even if we don't believe it? Do it anyway. And maybe it'll click on the 432nd time, right? It doesn't matter. But if everything's for you, why can't you be thankful for everything? If you understand that, right? If it's all for you, if it's all for your furtherance into the kingdom of life, where there's what? Peace forevermore. Now, if you're thankful all the time, you could probably be peaceful all the time. I think that goes together. Pretty simple, isn't it? Here we go. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the God, living in thankfulness, abideth forever. Abideth in peace forever. Could I add those words in there? Thank you. A peace that passes all understanding. Believing in a God who means everything for you, who isn't against you, who's wanting to draw you into a realm of life and peace. The hell? Does anybody not want that? Anybody? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Your fake peace. Peace, peace, you have no peace. You want to know why? Because it's yours is conditional. Yours is always conditional. Now I'm telling you, everybody knows inside when you're frustrated and you're not at peace, and you can lie about it. You can say, I got peace, peace. But you know. You don't have to tell me. You can't fake yourself out, okay? There's no way to fake yourself out. You know inside if you're frustrated or anxious. So, here's the truth. And I wrote this, I pulled this phrase in from one of my lessons. It said, if we are troubled or frustrated in any way, it means that at some level there's truth missing in our lives. Now, what's the truth we're hearing today? That everything's for you. Everything's for you. So if you're frustrated and anxious, you're not believing that whatever it is that's standing in front of you is for you, not against you. And so here we go again. God told the Israelites in the Old Testament, and you've got all these stories about all these wars and all that stuff. And listen, all those stories in there were meant for us, okay? Even though they didn't believe in the right God, it's a story about their journey. Now listen, you haven't believed in the right God your whole daggone life. So hello, quit thinking you're something special there. You've done the same dang thing. So just because it's written in there, there's stories that are for us. But we try to go in there and get it all synchronized, and there's 10 different people wrote. I mean, if you wrote a book, brother, about your life, it's going to have everything in there, I hope. Right? Well, the end isn't going to line up with the beginning. I'm just telling you. It ain't going to line up. That's nonsense to think Scripture is supposed to be synchronized. And all the Gospels are in harmony. Well, they're not. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be. They weren't supposed to be. Just like what I heard yesterday, maybe you didn't hear it, or you heard it a different way. And we're all writing books, because we are a book, right? Well, that's what this is. It's a collection of books. And I believe that collection was inspired. The putting together of them was. But here's God in a story talking to the Israelites who's scared to death. And all their enemies are surrounding them. All their enemies are surrounding them. Just like all your problems surround you. And you know what he told them to do? Go out in front of them and act like a bunch of crazy people and start dancing and partying. You remember? Go out and just start dancing. Throw down your weapons and start dancing. And you remember what happened? They looked at each other and they said, you guys are crazy. You come here to set us up and turn on us, and they both turned on each other and destroyed each other. Just because of that concept. Remember the story? You come, because there was a group of, I think it was the Moabites and the Hebabites and the Jacobites or whatever. They got together and formed a conspiracy, and then they all thought the other one deceived them. And they turned on each other and destroyed each other. And that's what's going to happen to all of your problems in your mind when you get your attention off of them and quit fighting them. They're all going to turn on each other and eat each other up. And it's going to go up in a puff of smoke. And that's what the story is about. That's what the story is for. Can you greet something next time that when you first see it, you're going, oh no, I know you. I don't like you. See? Si, senor, I don't like you. I've seen you before. You're a man, you're a bad person. I'm thinking of Clint Eastwood right now. Dirty Harry. I don't like you, Dirty Harry. But what message do you have for me? Right? What's the message you have for me? And I talked about this a lot too, but it didn't click for me until Gary. It didn't click for me until Gary said it. But what was I saying? We just keep trying to get rid of our problems and we don't ever learn nothing. We just pray to a God to get rid of it and we learn nothing. And that's what we've been doing our whole lives. You better raise your hand now, not to me. Well, don't tell me about how you've understood this stuff for 50 years because you haven't. I'm telling you, this is the awakening that's happening. All the stuff that's been holding us down is really starting to disappear. I feel it. And there might be some more that needs to disappear. So I don't want to say I've arrived, because if there's more, I want it gone. That's what I want. But this is a great breakthrough. And you have these great revelations, and there's so much relief in them, and then what happens? The cares of the world are there to greet you tomorrow, and they come and start taking a bite out of joy. Don't they? They're little bites here and there, little bites of frustration, and then that revelation and peace goes down. Then you forget about it. Then you end up going back to a fake God, trying to ask him for something you don't need, because you don't have it. Boy, I'm glad we figured this out, aren't you? It's a mess. That's a friggin' mess. Isn't it? We're starting to figure it out, I think. Everything's for you. Everything's for you. Whatever it is. Hallelujah. I love that. So, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. Don't resist that which comes to you. Greet that thing which comes to you with thankfulness. And I'm promising you, peace will follow. Peace will follow. Is that right? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because everything I'm bringing to you is for you. Everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. Don't judge it by whether it's right or wrong, good or evil. Don't judge it. I don't care if it's a hooker coming to you down in the New Orleans on Bourbon Street with a bottle of scotch. Now, Diane might not like that. But I'm going to be thankful. Right, Gary? and I might even break out a cigar. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, guys, I've got so much relief from this word. I've got so much relief just sitting here in front of you telling you this today. I've gotten so much relief in my life. I'm so thankful that we've all got together this weekend and we've shared these truths. And just a little word squeaked through and broke up all the stuff in my life. And I've had limited success. There's been times that I've felt peace and stuff, but it's a big, it's like Liz says, the little serpents turn into big red monsters.
Yep.
And it makes me thankful because I feel it. I'm feeling it in my body. Now that's health to your bones. That's health to your bones. That's the health we're looking for, not trying to get rid of some cancer cell. Okay? And those might go, you know, but don't pay any attention to it. Right? Because if it's there for you. Right? It's there for you to learn. To learn. Not to get rid of. Not to get rid of. Don't try to get rid of it, right? Don't. Because if you're trying to get rid of it, you aren't learning. What will happen? The Cadillac will show up right when you need it. That's what will happen. And you say, well, wow, you know, I know I would like one of those. And I believe him when he says that. I believe Gary when he says that, that he'd like a Cadillac, but he doesn't have to have one. You know, I believe him. You know, he's been out doing this stuff quite a while. But that doesn't mean he always follows that all the time. With everything. Because if you find yourself frustrated in some way, guess what? This formula isn't working somewhere. And so it's your job to go out and hunt it down where the disconnect's at.
Yep.
Where did I get disconnected, God? When did I quit believing this was for me? Mm-hmm. When did it happen? Well, it might have been when the sledgehammer fell down on your big toe. Right? And it was sort of just like when I had that kidney stone. I'm just telling you right now, I was not praising God. Okay? I'm sorry. I failed. You know what I'm saying? 4 hours of hell. And I thought I had every disease known to man on the way in the hospital. Because this was hurting and that was hurting and my back was hurting and... And the pain was so intense. And I'm not somebody that cries. I do in an emotional situation when I see and feel love, I will. Sometimes watching a movie. But I'm not a crier. Well, they said you're supposed to be crying at this level I was at. And it was so painful I couldn't even cry. I'm just telling you, man. So... You might have to say it to yourself and not believe it if you got a kidney stone, okay? I'm just telling you. Okay, God, I'm thankful. You know? But there's a lot of other situations not that intense, right? You know what we're talking about. We know what we're talking about, don't we? Huh? What is that thing that's troubling you? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because everything that's coming to you is for you. Everything. Everything. Now, I don't want to be like the snake handlers in the Pentecostal church. Did you see that series on that?
Yeah.
The snake finally bit the guy and he dropped over dead.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, a misinterpreted scripture. You think that what it's talking about, a snake in there, has got anything to do with holding on to a rattlesnake around your neck and dancing up and down? Come on now. Oh my gosh, people, help me. There's a whole church that does it. Who is the snake in Scripture? Who's the snake? It's your own mind pushing you into a death realm, pushing you into somewhere where you're not, where you are not alive. That's what all that stuff is talking about. Hello? Hello? Don't handle snakes, okay? No snake handling. Let them alone. Now, here's a verse that we can expand upon that talks about this a little more. How do we know? How can we rest in the fact that everything that's coming to you is for you? How can we know it? But I want to read you a verse that I think takes us to another level. Because we talk about the fact that we are the temple of God. Okay? We say that all the time. Do you know, though, that even in that type of logic and that type of description, it's not really true? It's not really true because there's senses of separation in there. See? There's still a sense that there's me and him. See? That there's two. Right? That there's that, and if you start to get a sense that there's two, then you're going to think you got to do something. See? Then you're going to feel like you got to do something. So I want to read you this verse that Ron Osborne sent me. And it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple." I quit looking at myself. I quit focusing on myself and realized that the Lord and the Lamb are the temple. Now, what does a lamb do? It receives everything that comes to it, doesn't it? Doesn't it? That's a lamb. You're more than a temple of God. You are God manifest in the flesh. There is no separation. And everything that's coming to you is for your moving and living into that experience. Everything. The temple is God Himself. The kingdom of God is God. Somebody told me not too long ago, I said, the kingdom of God has got strengths and weaknesses. And I said, well, don't talk to God like that. The kingdom of God is full of strengths and weaknesses. I said, well, I don't want that one. That's the one I'm living in half the time. That's not the one I think is right. Matter of fact, you know who he is, but I ain't telling you. If I return to the earth, the mind of unbelief, will I find faith? Will I find those that believe everything that comes to them is for them? Wow. Isn't that faith? Isn't that a realm of faith? That I believe that everything comes to them is for them? When I return to the earth of unbelief, will I find faith? Will you realize the temple of God is God Himself, and everything that's coming to you is so that you can experience and enjoy that? God isn't sharing Himself with you. He is you. And as Gary said yesterday, don't think it is robbery. Don't puff yourself up like some big ego. It's just the opposite of that. What is a lamb? What was Jesus? He was a servant. A giver of love. God is love. That always gives, doesn't it? It's not there to get. It receives everything that comes to it with thanksgiving. And doesn't hang on to things so tightly. That's lust as well. Don't hang on to things so tightly. If something comes to you and you say, man, I really like that Cadillac. And you can walk away from it and be satisfied? That's the answer. Then it still come, didn't it? Matter of fact, you had two of them. Then he gave one away. I couldn't believe it when he gave the first one away. I said, well, Gary, you just got it. Why are you going to give it to somebody? Now, come on now. It's even Christmas. Aren't you like Benny Hinn? Huh? Come on now. Because that's the first thing I think of. Somebody says they want a Cadillac. I think of the charismatics, you know. I'm praying for a Cadillac. I knew a gal that wanted a Jaguar. I says, you don't want a Jaguar. Those things are junk. You'll need another God just to keep the maintenance up on that thing, you know. So, I want to close with something Linda Waring sent us. Linda said, I wanted to share a little something with you out of this little book, Christ in You, that's been circulating around. I think Diane's got one. There's one laying over here.
Jesus Called?
Well, anyways, no, this isn't this one. This is called the little book, Christ in You. So it's from the chapter, she says, Heaven Within You. And it says, the birth into the real life should be exactly like an awakening on a beautiful morning when the dawn is stealing over the land, touching everything with the purity and freshness belonging only to the first hours of the day. It is meant that we should open our eyes and see God everywhere. Just this simple, homely, all familiar awakening into harmony and peace. God grant that you all may begin this experience right where you are. Then you will enter the more fully into reality when that which is in part shall be done away. The consciousness of God is stealing over the earth, touching all things into purity and truth by its burning, glowing love. So thank you, everybody, for this weekend. Thanks to Gary and Carol and all of our nice friends here. And we will see you back in May. And then Gary's going to be actually speaking next week somewhere. So you could go on his website. I don't know if they're broadcasting it or not, but do they record the meetings?
It'll be in
Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Yeah. So you can go on Gary's website for that. So thank you, everybody. Goodbye.